You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we have a very special program. We are going to be talking about friends with benefits. Friends with benefits? What does that mean?
You have benefits because you have friends.
You have friends. So there's a movie called Friends with Benefits, and there's, I guess, a, what would that be called? Just a common expression? Oh, we're just friends, but we've got benefits because we're able to, have some intimacy every once in a while. More than just friends, but we're only friends. The reason we're bringing up friends with benefits is that in romantic relationships, you really want to also at some point feel like you're friends, like you like each other, right? So you not only love each other and you want to be with each other, but you want to be friends. You want to be able to talk about anything and do stuff together and be okay when maybe you're separate for a little bit too, right?
Yeah, but maybe you don't want to have the commitment with relationships, so you go like that.
Yeah, but this show is not about the friends who have benefits, but we're trying to say that in a real romantic relationship, long-term intimate relationship where you're committed to each other, that you are really friends with benefits, but it's much more benefits. Part of a relationship, however, when people are analyzing, and maybe they don't really analyze, they just feel, how do I feel about this? They can look at the costs that are needed and the benefits they get in relationships. In fact, today we're going to talk about a study. It's actually three studies, but it's a paper, research paper that was written on three studies that looked at the costs versus the benefits in relationships. So what it was, and I'll bring it up on screen here, is perceived benefits and costs of romantic relationships for women and men and the implications for exchange theory. Exchange theory is that you exchange value. There's a value of costs of what you have to put into the relationship versus what you get out.
Okay.
This study was looking at how people attributed what they needed to put into the relationship, the things they perceived as not being benefits, but being costs of a relationship. And then they looked at men versus women and the implication of that in order to do different things for therapy, for working with people in a relationship. It was giving insights into how to work with them differently, because the way that, generally speaking, men and women were going about these relationships, the benefits and the costs they were getting out of them, were different according to this study. So let's look at this study. The background. The purpose was to explore the perceived benefits and costs of romantic relationships, focusing on gender differences and their implications for exchange theory. This was done at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University. Why that is important is, as Lizette and I were talking before the show, what people in North Carolina, in the United States, in different countries, different cultural backgrounds, think is a cost in a relationship versus a benefit is very walled in. North Carolina is going to be different than New York.
Yeah, it's many factors.
Another factor is that these were college students that were interviewed for these studies. Their values, their what they feel is a cost, completely different than somebody who's maybe 30.
Or
41. The differences in what they believe are perceived costs and perceived benefits of being in a relationship. So we're going to explore that. The research gap, why this was important, was there was a limited understanding of the subjective experiences, not objective, but subjective, the personal view of people, not real quantitatively speaking, but more of qualitative, like what do you feel, and then it's self-reporting. So their relationship that they had with others and what the benefits and costs they felt. Few studies really went into gender differences, and that was the big thing about these studies. Here are the three studies. Well, let's go back to exchange theory, first of all. Exchange theory is the costs and benefits that are evaluated through rules of social exchange. And then the gender influence on that was social and emotional roles differ across genders, shaping perceptions of a romantic relationships. And again, this is relatively, I'm going to say, fluid, that it doesn't mean all people of all gender, of one type, other type, or however, feel this way. It's just generally speaking, and somebody can have feelings one way or the other way more, but what this was allowing us to, not us, but the people who are doing the research, to evaluate is there generalities on how people perceive relationships that are different.
Okay.
So let's look at some of this. So the methodology, three studies. Study number one, there were 70 male, I already got that backwards, 70 female and 59 males, all heterosexual undergraduates with prior romantic experiences. The method of this study was open-ended questions, self-reports on perceived benefits and costs. The study two was 200 undergraduates, 100 females and 100 males. Participants ranked benefits and costs based on importance or seriousness. And then finally, the third study was in 200 undergraduates, again, 100 females, 100 males. They rated benefits and costs using a 7-point scale for importance. What was important for them as far as costs and benefits in a relationship? Why is this important? The reason this is important is that costs versus benefits can change over a lifetime. But if there's a lot of costs involved, you don't know it sometimes until you're in the relationship. What's the cost of this relationship? I don't know.
Can be emotional, finance, time.
It can be all those things. It can be like a lack of self-identity. I no longer see myself as a single person, but now I'm in this relationship. And maybe I don't like the relationship, so I think less of myself because I'm in a relationship I don't like, but I don't know how to get out of it.
Lost the friends. So sometimes people, when have a new relationship, forget the group of the friend that 20 years before hanging off each other. So right now I am in this, and or family too.
Family, and also the ability to date other people. Especially for college kids, right? You start dating somebody and now suddenly you can't date somebody, or you have that stress of, well, I'd like to maybe not stay with this relationship and try. And these are like these early relationships where most of them will not be long-term relationships.
Yeah.
But today's show is what can we learn from that we can expand upon to learn how this can impact all of our lives. And again, the gender differences don't mean a thing. What means something is the cost and the benefits that people perceive in the relationship. So here's some shared benefits. So doesn't matter if the men or the women answered this question, they shared these benefits in their answers. That there was companionship or affiliation. They were with somebody, right? What else did they have? They felt loved, or the benefit of loving another person. Intimacy, mutual understanding, trust, closeness to somebody. And then increased self-esteem and personal growth. That was a benefit, but again, that would be a benefit in a good relationship.
Yeah.
My assumption is it's a bad relationship, your self-esteem goes down, doesn't go up. But now if you're feeling loved in a loving, good relationship, your self-esteem goes up.
Yeah, also depends. Some kind of bad relationship, if you have a high or positive way to learn, you can increase your self-esteem. You know what I mean? You are a resilient person.
if you're resilient, if you go into the relationship saying, hey, you know what, I don't know if this is going to work or not work, but I'm going to learn something from it. And maybe at this age, college age, this is something you should be doing. I'm going to try it. Let me see how it goes.
Maybe you recognize what did you like, what did you don't like in the relationship and yourself.
Yeah, and I don't have time to be serious, so I'm just going to go into a lot of non-serious relationships. Who knows? So here's some of the gender-specific findings of the study. That women had greater emphasis on intimacy, self-growth, and emotional support of being in the relationship. And they had a higher importance placed on positive self-esteem and mutual understanding, you know, getting along with somebody else. Men had a higher rating of sexual gratification, and that was a high priority for them. Learning about the other sex as a secondary benefit. I know nothing about women, and now that I'm in a relationship, I know everything about women. No, I mean, that was
no war like that. But
it doesn't work like that, but maybe guys who had never really been in a relationship started to learn more about what it is to be in a relationship and learn something, maybe earn something too, who knows, but learn something from their partner.
Okay. Right?
So that was that. And then the common costs, how the men and women felt what the cost of being in a relationship was: stress, worry about the relationship. They're worried maybe the other person was cheating, or worried that, oh, I gotta go see them again. You know, there can be some worry like that, I would think, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, I need to drive 1 hour to be see the person. I don't wanna drive.
Or, you know, the biggest worry of some relationships would be, how do I break up with them? How do I do it? I don't want the emotional turmoil of breaking up. So those are all those types of problems that could occur. What else do we have there? Time and effort investment, like you just said, the hour drive. And then social sacrifices, restricted socializing. They now can't go out with anybody at any time. And limited freedom to date. They just can't date anybody anymore. They need to date.
Depend also, because right now people have the open relationship, and the, what is it called, social dating, 20 people at the same time.
Date everyone.
So and have five, seven boyfriend, girlfriend at the same time. So the people have the resource to handle.
Yeah.
Three or four person, okay.
Multitasking.
Enjoy. Yeah, multitasking.
Maybe they're learning job skills.
Yeah, you need to have better skill to handle many relationships at the same time, but go ahead. Enjoy.
Some gender-specific findings on costs: that women had a higher perception of emotional costs, such as loss of identity and self-worth. They placed a lot of their own worth in the relationship, so they lost their self-worth. More sensitivity to dependency-related costs. I now depend on the person. Are they going to pick me up? Are they going to do this? Or that they just feel like now part of their own worth is dependent on the other person. Men had a greater emphasis on monetary losses and time investment as costs. Maybe men are still seeing themselves as, well, we're going to date. I'm going to pay for the date. It's going to cost me money to do that. There's investment in this.
Yeah.
And again, is this more of an American thing or a North Carolina thing than somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. Also, men had a lot of stress from loss of personal freedom. At least that's what they said. Let's continue on here and say key gender differences in this. So here are the key ones. That women value, something we learned here, women value emotional intimacy and self-esteem benefits more, while men prioritize physical gratification and practical costs. Men are so practicals. But what are the contradictions in findings? That romantic relationships foster both self-growth and loss of identity. It's a contradiction, right? So you have self-growth, at the same time, loss of identity in a relationship. Emotional highs are coupled with vulnerabilities, such as dependence and stress. So relationships are both costly and beneficial. That's what we're learning here. And the implication for exchange theory was that there are gender-specific preferences, so tailored approaches are needed in therapy and dealing with people that are having issues with relationships. and it highlights the need for personalized counseling in romantic partnerships, not a one-size-fit-all. You know, one size does not fit all. So that's that. Conclusion and future directions. This does establish generalized patterns of relationship perceptions. I'm going to leave it at that. Some of the things that we were talking about is that this is such an isolated age category, you know, college students in North Carolina, perceptions on relationships. And at this point, how important is that? If we know that 90% of college relationships do not turn out to be long-term relationships, what is really the implication for long-term successful relationships?
Mm-hmm. And also the culture. So it's different that you maybe do this study, for example, I think, and I have a friend that coming from Lebanon and Syria, you know, so yeah. That view is different. You can interview and the show relationship is something that not happened, you know? And then this is subvariance factors.
So when you have a relationship that's set up by your family, you don't have like the options and the choices. So maybe, you know, and I think we talked about this. We've interviewed people on the show that were from a culture that had arranged marriages, and so when you have the arranged marriage, maybe you're not thinking of the cost as much as because it's you don't have control over it, so you don't have control over it, you don't think about it.
And sometimes I see couples is really happy together because they work in, they know that is your partner, and then be positive and grow the relationship together. You have many years happy married, so sometimes it's no high percent, low percent. I don't know the percent, but it depends also how you figure out. And the concept for relationship is also important to know. What does relationship mean?
What does it mean? And when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more. We want to amplify the benefits and reduce the costs. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Victoria experiences the past, present and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about friends with benefits, where we're really not. We're really talking about relationships, long-term romantic relationships, where you are friends and you have benefits. But we also just talked about some study or studies that were done in a research paper written about costs and benefits of being in a relationship. Theorize, or what do we call it? Give it the hypothesis or the thought that a good long-term relationship should promote both people to health, wealth, and happiness. That two people together should be healthier, wealthier, and happier than they were than when they were single. Mm-hmm. And that's, should I say, the difference between a good relationship, a good long-term relationship, and maybe a bad one, is that we know, we were doing studies, we were looking at studies that said, oh, it's better to be married than single. We were trying to find, is it better to be married or single? Is it better to be in a partnership or single? And you know what? It turned out there was just like a little bit of evidence both ways, that single people were generally happier than married people. And there was one study that talked about single person gets married, gets divorced, and now that they're divorced, they're even more upset and anxious than they were when they were single. So the point they were trying to make is that marriage, partnership, romantic partnership doesn't cure problems.
Yeah, like, and also I thinking I was divorced. I was so happy divorced, and I was married, and I'm so happy married, and I'm married again, and I was so happy. So I guess it's more also the personality, you know.
It is. It is the personality. So what our theory is, or our hypothesis is, actually it's a definition. A good relationship promotes health, wealth, and happiness. And so because there's the cost involved in the relationship, I'll go one more step here, is that because there is the cost, or are the costs that these younger people talk about, and older people would talk about too, but the studies were for the younger people, the costs are there. So if you know there are costs that are there, you want to really have benefits. And if you can minimize the costs, how do you do that? How do you get into a relationship where you have the most opportunity for better health, better wealth, and better happiness? We're going to talk about that. So the theory that we just stated, that beneficial romantic relationships will lead to increased health, wealth, and happiness. That's what we say. So the cost versus benefit. What is the foundation of a long-term romantic relationship that leads to increased health, wealth, and happiness? Oh my. So if you read studies on what would lead to that, what are the elements of a relationship that would lead to health, wealth, and happiness? Mm-hmm. Here are the components. We talked about, actually we talk about these components a lot, but here they are. You ready?
Yeah.
Open and honest communication, regularly expressing feelings, thoughts, and the needs to openly and actively listen to your partner. So that would be one. Mutual respect, valuing each other's opinions, boundaries, and individuality, and trust, feeling secure and confident in your partner's loyalty and the relationship. Now, that's just one third of the ones that we have to list here.
Yeah.
But those are just generally accepted things in a good relationship. What else do we have here? We have shared value and goals. We always talk about that. Shared goals lead you to figuring out solutions together and learning more about each other as you work towards them. Aligning on important life principles and aspirations, that if you have shared values and goals going into the relationship, much better than if you don't. Emotional intimacy, sharing deep feelings and providing emotional support to one another. Commitment, dedicated to the relationship and working through challenges together. Those are three other things that are key elements of a good relationship that would lead to health, wealth, and happiness. Here's a few more. Compromise.
Mm-hmm.
See that? Willingness to meet in the middle and make adjustments to accommodate each other. Positive reinforcement, actively expressing appreciation and gratitude for your partner, and maintaining individuality and your own individual identity, nurturing personal interests and hobbies while still being connected as a couple, and supporting your partner's individual needs for their own individuality.
Yeah, that is important when we also enjoy some stuff together, mm-hmm. but I know that you like something different, that I like something different, so the ability to recognize when we enjoy together and when we enjoy separate.
So these things that we say are good to be in a component of a healthy relationship, that are good for long-term success, that will drive you to health, wealth, and happiness, these are in the relationship. But how can you make sure that these, or how can you give a much higher likelihood of these being in the relationship? You can't get in a relationship and say, you know, we got to start having communication. If you're relationship is built on a foundation that already has these built in it, it makes these things as components of your relationship much easier to be had.
Mm-hmm.
So the point we're going to make is the pre-work to make the relationship work. And these things that we say are positive to have in the relationship, they need to be there before the relationship. Compatibility, you know, individuality, goals, shared values. Well, you can't have shared values until you have your own values. You have your own values. If you have similar values going into the relationship, that's good. Let's look at some of these things here. So what does health, wealth, and happiness mean? I was like, what's happiness? It was eluding me. Happiness was, I was missing happiness for a moment there. I got it now, though. So here we go. Health, strong social connections from a supportive relationship can reduce stress, boost immunity, and improve overall well-being. Wealth, shared financial goals, responsible budgeting, and collaborative decision-making can lead to better financial stability. So can two incomes. Happiness, feeling loved, supported, and understood by your partner fosters a sense of contentment and life satisfaction. That's what we mean by those things. So here we're going to wrap up that section. When we come back, we're going to go into the foundational aspects of what can you do prior to a relationship? How can you figure out what you should be doing, what you need to do, what you need to know in order to have those things become a natural output, natural result of being in your relationship? Be back after this. Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Now we're in our final third chapter of today's show. We want to talk about the foundational aspects of this, maybe give some examples as we go. Let's go right into this. So compatibility. How do you assure compatibility? What are the dimensions of compatibility that are necessary for success in the relationship? This little piece up here, this little video, shows this loving couple talking to each other. But what they're doing on the computer right now is, when they look at the computer, you know what they're doing on the computer? They're looking for their new property. They're looking for, or they could be looking for where are they going on vacation. But it's a common goal. And that's one thing that we talked about is having common goals. Now, when you first meet a new person and you talk about what you want to do with your life in the future, and they talk about their life in the future, their goal, if those two goals are very similar, great. Now you've got goal compatibility. We talked about if they value, you know, I want to be near a small city, not a big city, near a small city. So there's the ability to go visit the city, find some nice restaurants. But at the same time, they want to be near some kind of vacation or historic site. And you say, that's exactly what I want to do. Now you start building these similarities. We talk about in our book, educational compatibility. We talk about family values. We talk about cultural values, religious beliefs, things like that. Those are things that at the beginning of the relationship, the more things that are in common with the other person, the easier it is to communicate. Also, when you talk about stuff, you have a common thread or a common almost dictionary of terminology, that you have common experiences, you have common relatable items. Maybe it's from education, maybe it's from where you grew up, maybe it's from the sports activities you did, the hobbies you like. When you have common ways of expressing yourself, mm-hmm. when you have a certain set of family values that maybe came from your family and your upbringing, it's easier to communicate with somebody who's got a matching set. When you have non-matching sets, you may be like really attracted to the person because, oh, they're just so wonderful. But the deeper and deeper you get into the relationship, the more difficulty you have and the more hurdles you have in trying to understand each other.
Yeah.
Because it's basically one of you have been programmed with a dictionary from, you know, two different dictionaries, or somebody has all physics in their mind and somebody else has all English in their mind. And then when you try to discuss a subject about something different, your reference, your frame of reference is completely different, and you just can't get the other person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got it?
No. What did he say?
Let's look at some of those. So compatibility in long-term romantic relationships, what are the dimensions for success? We want to talk about the long-term relationship that contributes to health, wealth, and happiness. Key elements we talked about in that would be stuff like communication, mutual respect, shared values, adaptability, conflict navigation. This paper that we're talking about, presentation actually, integrates the question of compatibility with insights from the document, which is the book actually, 90 Day Soulmate, and established psychological research. So what we tried to do is tie what's the concepts in the book with some examples on things that can help in communication, which can help in long-term beneficial relationship, minimizing the cost, maximizing the benefit, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we do here. We're gonna have to start these new things: minimize the cost, maximize the benefit. You know, exactly. So what we want to do is, what does compatibility do? It ensures a higher likelihood of long-term success. Partners should be compatible across a number of areas. And here are some of the areas that partners should be. And we can talk about some of these things and how they're examples, maybe our own examples. You ready? Family dynamics. Similar family structures or values provide a shared understanding of relationship roles. Alignment in family traditions and upbringing encourages smoother transitions into joint family activities. So, for instance, with us, mm-hmm. if you remember the old question of, oh, I'm a gringo, you know, I'm from the U.S. and you're from Latin America, you're Latina, mm-hmm. you know, we're so different. How do we get, you know, why would we get along?
Because we don't understand each other. That's the idea.
There you go. Don't understand each other the best. No. Actually, if you remember, we had a certain level of understanding, but we were unsure of what the other person meant sometimes, or what how we would come across. So we would check for understanding. So we would always assume that we weren't being clear, or maybe I misheard each other, mm-hmm. and we would check for clarification.
And this is become a real good technique for mm-hmm. for have better connection between you and me. Yeah.
So whenever there is a sticky point in your relationship where you think the other person said something that might have hurt you, if you have the understanding with them preset, pre-programmed, you've talked about it before, that if either of us says something that hurts the other person, just say, hey, I don't understand what you're saying, not attack them back. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what you're saying is a sign that they need to rethink what they just said.
And you give the opportunity to the other thinking, yeah. because it's emotional and people is human. So
recalculate.
And then deliver the right message they want to say.
But I want to go back to the family dynamic piece, mm-hmm. is that the question of us having different cultural aspects, the answer was our family upbringing was very similar. So although we grew up in different countries, different settings, that our parents, our family, was very similar.
So the values in home is similar. So the traditional house, father, mother, long year together, respect, good communication. So this kind of value, be home in a harmony, relax. So that is similar in both houses.
Both had two-parent household.
Mm-hmm.
And very, I'm going to say, a long-term, loving commitment of their parents. So the parents both of our parents had been together for quite some time. So those family dynamics in our youth were similar.
Mm-hmm.
So that allowed a certain piece of compatibility. The family traditions, you know, if we celebrate Christmas or holidays, that
we don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving? No, we brought Thanksgiving was one here, but you took that on pretty quickly. So cultural background, that was another one. So shared cultural background. Cultural norms, if you share them, reduce misunderstanding, foster mutual respect. Cultural traditions and shared language influence the sense of belonging. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
If you have it, and it doesn't mean you have to have all the compatibility, but you also have to understand if there's a lack of compatibility in these areas, that you have to recognize it and recognize that these could be areas of misunderstanding, and go back to what we said before, is I'm sorry, I'm not understanding what you say. Allow the person to correct or rethink. Maybe my background makes me say something in this way. I know their background and how they're going to react. Oh, let me restate it in a way that's more neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one. Let's continue on. Intellectual compatibility. Partners with similar levels of education often align better in discussions, goals, and problem-solving approaches. Shared values on education fosters mutual support for lifelong learning. I'm going to throw in their professional growth, that compatible career aspirations ensure alignment in lifestyle schedules and priorities. That two people that are business people, two people that local, like say two people who are teachers, they may understand each other better than a person who is a teacher and a person who's an international salesperson, that they have different schedules, different
environment to work, different issues, because I guess when we coming back home, we discuss what happened in my trip, what happened in your office, so that's this make a connection too.
So, and go back to intellectual compatibility, it could be similar education, it could be similar level of education, or it could just be similar ability to intellectually think about a subject. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you both have to have college degrees, it doesn't mean you both have to be doctors, but it does mean that you should have the ability to have conversation,
mm-hmm.
and listen kindly to the other, and try to make learning a lifelong thing.
I like the example, a couple, the one is a doctor and the husband is working, you know, the cut meat in the supermaker. So they have interesting conversation about part of the meat and the this, because the doctor way know how the kind of the organ or whatever in the human.
Right.
And the other person know what kind of part of the... So doesn't mean the doctor or the guy they work in a supermaker, they have connection, they have conversation, and voila.
And they both improve their skills.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
don't know.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's it, be resilient.
So something to talk about. We need something to talk about. My mouse is off the screen. There it is. Goals and aspirations. We talked about these things. Short-term and long-term goals. Short-term and long-term goals, alignment in financial planning, child rearing, expectations, and career goals foster cooperation. personal growth. Encouragement of each partner's self-improvement leads to personal and relationship fulfillment. There's other things such as this. What else do we have? Personality and interests. If one person's a real extrovert and one's a real introvert, there may be some clashing, right? How you act with other people. You know, if you're always like, if you're always on, what is that word? On. If you're always on and you're always active and you're always talking to people and the person you're with kind of gets embarrassed because you're that way, that's not going to work. But if you can have different personality types if you appreciate the other personality. Like, I am in awe of when Lizette starts singing to the waiter or waitress at her table. That impresses me. She doesn't do it, but the point would be...
No, I also value the difference. So yeah. Sometimes we don't have 100% the person similar to you because it's so worrying, bro. The different the other person has, you need to value. Because
and like, value and enjoy, right? If every time they do this thing, it bothers you, it's going to just keep bothering you. And you either have to say, you know what, I'm just going to accept it and change how you are because you do have the ability to change, or... You're going to just say, I can't do this. One of the costs of this relationship is it's really destroying my own personal sense of sanity. I need to end it. Or, you know what? It's not really an important thing. Let me forget it. Let me start enjoying it.
Yeah.
Let me encourage it, in fact. How about temperaments? So the ability to not get upset easily. The ability to be calm in a stressful situation. Emotional intelligence helps navigate disagreements effectively. So emotional intelligence, again, the ability to recognize the emotions of a situation, manage your and others' emotions to get the most positive outcome of the situation. That's what I claim is the definition of emotional intelligence, which is pretty much close to what it is, right?
Yeah.
So... And then shared hobbies and interests is another. That if you both like exercise, if you both like traveling, if you both like eating at restaurants, if you both like art, if you both like listening. Play cards, sure. Play games. If you have those shared hobbies, you can grow in those ways. So the book 90 Day Soulmate brings up a couple of things. It brings up stuff like the law of attraction, where... what you set your mind to and how you define what you want in a relationship is what you're going to find in a relationship. So you better know what you want. Clarifying your personal desires will ensure alignment with a compatible partner. Self-discovery, knowing oneself, including your strengths and vulnerabilities, aids in building authentic relationships. And then emotional transparency, honest communication about fears, desires and past relationships prevents misunderstandings. You were talking about that, being really open, right?
Yeah.
Being really open and sharing information helps reduce, one, the fear of the other person in the relationship, the anxiety of being in the relationship. Maybe being honest and open ends the relationship, but ends it before it goes on for too long and becomes...
not healthy.
Yeah, unhealthy. Yeah. The goal, again, of a good relationship is to promote the health, the wealth, and the happiness of the people involved. If you're not getting healthier together, if you're not getting wealthier together, you're not getting happier together, then you're on the wrong track for the relationship. There are many, many relationships that are on that wrong track.
Yeah. And you need to figure out and balance because sometimes it's something you can fix, sometimes it's something that you cannot fix. So.
That's true. So what we hope for you is that as far as health is concerned, that you have reduced stress levels from a supportive interaction that leads to better physical and emotional health, that you have shared activities and you like, you like to do exercise, or you have wellness routines, improve your well-being through these type of processes, right? As far as wealth is concerned, joint financial planning for the future together. shared responsibility will lead to stability and growth. Compatibility in spending habits avoids conflicts over money. So, or the ability to learn over time how things work better for the two of you if you do have a diversity in spending habits. Or you rein yours in, or you rein theirs in, or if you, or you spend a little more. But part of it is to have happiness, and if you're not getting to happiness, try a different approach.
Yeah.
Finally, we are at happiness, so let's talk about happiness. Mutual encouragement, shared joys, and problem solving create a fulfilling life experience. Right? So that is compatibility. We don't have to talk about incompatibility. Basically, it's the opposite of all that. So we have a rundown of that where if you have differences in family experiences or cultural practices, that can be a problem in compatibility. Financial habits or career priorities, if those don't mix, like we talked about the school teacher and the salesperson. And I'm telling you that from personal experience, that I was an international salesperson traveling quite a bit all over the place, and a partner of mine was a school teacher staying in one location and spending time with the people at that school where I would travel all over the place. That would not breed for us, maybe for someone else it would, but that would not breed commitment, trust. There was too much difference in our career choices that was one of the challenges in the relationship. Strategies for resolution. If you have different strategies, if you don't have open dialogue, and if you don't revisit shared goals, like you don't talk about your goals, that would be a challenge. So counseling would also be another way to help a couple. What else do we got here? Conclusion. Compatibility across dimensions, such as background, education, beliefs, and goals, strengthen relationship success. Integrating self-awareness with the law of attraction as proposed in the 90-Day Soulmate book further aligns partners for health, wealth, and happiness. Long-term success is built on shared values, open communication, and a willingness to adapt and grow together for health, wealth, and happiness. As we know, there are costs and there are benefits in a relationship. We want to have low costs, high benefits, and how to get there is through compatibility. Compatibility that at the foundation, there's a lot of core structure that can be determined in here if you do some of the exercises in here. But the goal is with the costs, little costs, with the high benefits, push yourself to what? Better health, mm-hmm. better wealth, better happiness.
See you again the next week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.